All right, tonight we will be in the book of Psalms as our text reading, and we're not going to be going through it verse by verse, but the thought of what we'll be having tonight, Psalm number 139, and we'll begin reading in verse number 14, and I think I'm going to read just the rest of the chapter. I was going to go down through verse 17, but I believe we'll read the rest of the chapter, just get some thoughts here. Psalm 139, verse number 14. The psalmist says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more than the number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. O God, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. I do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved when those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As David writes these words, he is thinking about everything the Lord has done for him. He is thinking about the good things. He's thinking about those that are haters of God. And David makes an interesting statement here. He says, I hate them with perfect hatred. And then he says, God, search me and know my heart and see if there be any wicked ways in me. And so David was fearful in his thoughts that he might go too far. And the senses that God gave him to experience life. Scientists tell us, health books tell us that we have certain senses of life. There are some people that teach we have five senses. There are some that teach we have six, and then it goes on and on, different thoughts. But primarily, we have five senses in our life. And David was using these senses to recognize the love of God and the hatred of men. He says, we're fearfully, wonderfully made. Thank God tonight we are made of the Lord. We are not just a perhaps or a chance. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Even the most brilliant scientists cannot give you all the details that they would love to give you concerning the activity of the mind and how it works and how it stores and how our memory works and how that things work between each other. And so we're wonderfully made. We are made in the image of God. We are made to shine toward people the very image of our Creator. I'd lots rather think tonight about being a creation than just a result of evolution. I'd lots rather think that I am here for a purpose than I'm just here by accident. I'd like to rather think that I'm here because God has placed us here than to wonder why we're here. Now, sometimes we do wonder what's going on. We wonder what's taking place. We can, as a believer tonight, we know why we're here. We're here because of the majesty and the might of our God. We're here for a purpose. Whether we ever find that purpose or not, that sometimes is lacking in our life. But there is a purpose that God has for us being here, and He gives us senses, perceptions, that we can function in our physical life and also in our spiritual life. The Bible says, stir up the gift of God which is in thee, the gift of the Lord. I know when Brother Steve Allen was here those many years, he and I talked about these different senses. He said, I don't have one of them that everybody says you have to have. He said, I can't see. He said, but I sure can hear better than most people. And he said, I think I've got it. He said, I really think blind people have another sense, and that's just of perception and being able to identify, being able to maybe mentally see things that other people did not see. I know one time I don't remember if it was in the gym or in here. I think it was in here one time. We had chapel service. Everybody's in here, and that's when Steve was in a lot better health than in latter years. And he said, of course, the children, that he always amazed them with some of the things that he did and said. And he asked some of them, he said, how many of you think I can run here and stop before I get to that wall? And he said, I can't see the wall, don't know where the wall is. He says, well, if I take off running, will I run into the wall? And of course, I'll say, yeah, you'll hit the wall. Well, Steve took off running, and as soon as he got right there, he stopped dead still. And as he went, he was whistling. He'd whistle at intervals. And he did that so he could tell the bounce back of the sound in his ear. He could put his hand out of car as you was traveling down the road, and he could tell you how fast you were going. And I never could fool him. I never could. I don't know how he did that. And I one time I said, Steve, stick your hand out there and tell me how fast we're going. He said, you're going 67 miles an hour. He had it right on. I said, I'm going 74. He said, your speedometer's wrong. So he had a perception that was different. I stick my hand out, I just know I'm going. I have to look. I have to see. And Steve told me one time we come in this building, and I said, wait a minute, Steve, I got to turn on the lights. He said, which one of us handicapped? And he said, I don't have to have a light. You do. And so the senses that God gives to us are to help us to perform and to function in our life. We call them senses. We have them titled. Of course, we have vision and hearing and smell and taste and touch. And then you can go on with some others if you want to, but that's the five main senses that we are taught in school. And those things help us to function in life. Those things help us to just do our daily activity and to do the things that we have to do as a person. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has given us these things whereby that we are not robots. I'm glad I'm not a robot that somebody's got to push a little sticks to make me move right or left and push a button to make me speak. I'm glad we're not robots like that. God made us fearfully. God made us wonderfully. And He gave us these things to help us in our walk of life. The sense of vision. Aren't you glad you can see tonight? What a wonderful thing it is to be able to see. You don't think too much about it until you have a problem with sight, and don't have much thought about it until something goes wrong with our sight. And I go every year or two, probably about every 2 years, and because of diabetic, I have a special eye test that they give me, and I went just a few months ago, and they said, your eyes are better than they were when you were here before. I said, that's good. I like that. And I didn't have to get new glasses, didn't have to do any of those things until I broke the ones I had. And then I had to go back and get it all filled in anyway. But we have that sense of vision. We identify people by what we see. We identify our world by what we see. We have that sense of hearing, that we can hear each other talk, and we can communicate with each other. We can God's made our ear very intricate and very delicate, And God has made it a certain way so that we can hear. Those things didn't just happen. We're fearfully made. We're wonderfully made by the Lord. We have the sense of smell. And sometimes that's good, sometimes that's not good. Even sometimes the not good is good for us because it warns us. The other night, I didn't wake up. Sharon said, "Did you smell that skunk last night?" And he must have been right outside our window because it woke her up, and it didn't bother me too much. So she can smell a little better than I can. Sometimes that's good. But we have that sense. The other day, somebody said, "Well, I'm not hungry, but if I go in a restaurant, I'll eat a whole lot because I'll get hungry." You know why? Because we smell. That sense of smell is there. We have the sense of taste. Isn't it wonderful to be able to taste? I've heard people say, "I had surgery or I've taken some type of medicine and I don't taste anything anymore." Well, that'd be bad. I'd hate for it to just be everything bland. I like the taste of different foods. I like food. You name what kind. I like food. I like gypsy food. I like Mexican food. I like Italian food. I like Chinese food. I just like food. It all has a distinguished taste that we can know. I have eaten Indian food. That's not as good to me as a lot of them, but we had some friends that were from India. They cooked a meal, and it was good, but I didn't want no more for a long time. And so we taste different things physically in our in our life. And then we have the sense of touch. Isn't it good you can feel something? Isn't it good that you can touch something and you can perceive what it is by how it feels? Steve had that sense of touch, and he could read Braille. It just looked like a bunch of little dots to me, but he could run his finger across that. And it's interesting to watch him read. He'd use both hands, and both of them would run across, and he was reading with his hand and talking as he read with this hand. He already knew what he was going to say because he'd felt it on his right hand. And as he went across it with his left hand, he would speak it. And he was very very fluent in Braille. And it didn't mean anything to me, but the touch that he had, educated in that and understood that. And different people have different ideas, thoughts, and perceptions of their touch. Sometimes if you have physical problems, sometimes extremities become not as sensitive to the touch. Sometimes folks, their feet have problems being numb, and sometimes the hands do. And I've got three fingers here that pretty much are numb. Sometimes I can't even hardly button my collar because I can't tell if I've got the button in my hand or not. And so that's come about by diabetes. And so we have that sense that God gives us that we can touch and feel. We don't have to look at it. I can take this remote here, and by feeling it, I know which remote it is because it's different than this remote, and we can feel it by touch. Now, we don't use it as much as, well, we use it, but we don't recognize it as much as we should because we have this sense of vision. One's black, one's white. But if I had no vision, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference in that. And so God has wonderfully made us. He has made us different than all the creation of this world. It just really disturbs me when I hear somebody say that we are the highest evolved creature of the animal world. We are not animals. We are humans made in the very likeness of our God. We are not like the dogs. We're not like the cattle. We're not like the beast. We are different. We're made different. Now, they have some of the different animals have some of the same senses we do, but they're not controlled like ours are. And so God gives us senses physically. Well, He gives us, I believe, senses also spiritually. Some things that we can know and can identify by these, using really these same words. David said, "I'm fearfully, wonderfully made." He says, I will praise thee, for I am wonderfully made. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made. Thine eyes did see my substance. Then he says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. The Lord looks upon us as his creatures. And God doesn't look at us as the highest form of the animal kingdom. God looks at us as an image of himself. God looks at mankind and we are made in the image of the Lord. Now that image has been marred. That image has been almost literally destroyed. And the only way we can get back that image completely is to be a child of God, to have salvation, to have a spiritual life. And so tonight we look at these senses physically. Let's look at them just for a few moments and we'll look at them on the spiritual side. On the side from the Word of God, not just from physical feelings and things, but the spiritual side. Let's think about the sense of vision. We see things. We note things. We remember things by what we see. One of the greatest techniques of education that should be used is seeing what you're talking about. If a person reads it, writes it, and sees it, they'll probably remember it a lot better, and especially through the eye gate. But the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision of the lost, where we no longer think about people that are dying without God, we don't think too much about heaven and hell, and that's where we are in our generation, in our society. There's very few people think about hell. They live for the moment, they live for the day, they live for right now, and live today, die tomorrow, and then I'm gone anyway. That's that idea. But God tells us that we need to have a vision of people around the world. We need to have a vision of people that are dying without Christ. A spiritual vision. A spiritual looking and seeing that the masses of humanity are without God. China, billions of people. India, over a billion people. Different areas, the Far East, just multiple peoples that many of them have never heard the gospel. And part of the reason they have not heard is because there are some folks on this side of the water that have never had a vision that they ought to tell them about Jesus Christ. Thank God for the early 1900s, late 1800s, there was a great movement in this country, a missionary movement, a missionary society in Great Britain and in America that was able to send the gospel under such hard, hard, difficult times. And that missionary endeavor continues on tonight, and America sends missionaries around the world. Thank God we have a vision. Thank God we use that spiritual sense that God gives to us that we can see people dying without the Lord. It is developed by looking at the Word of God. It's developed by watching and seeing people live their life, either good, bad, wicked, or righteous. We find those things and then we become burdened and we develop a sense of seeing the needs of others, the needs of people. And it's not just a spiritual need of salvation. There are many needs that folks have tonight that we must look upon, that we must see. And they have so many things. We need to be witnessing. We need to be winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so spiritually, God gives us this vision of the lost. There have been artists that have put it down on canvas of people falling off the precipice going to hell. There have been artists that have different types of ways of showing and giving us a vision of people without God and dying without the Lord. But the Bible gives us the greatest vision of all as we read the Scripture, finding out that without Him there is no hope. Without Him there is no ability to go to heaven. And so, spiritually, God's given us that sense of vision. Physically, we have that sense of vision. Secondly, He gives us that sense of hearing. Thank God tonight, if you're a Christian, you've exercised that spiritual sense that God gives us, because the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hear it with our ears physically, and we experience it in our heart spiritually, that we know there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. In this world, we have a lot of voices that we listen to. We have a lot of people that talk. We have voices of friends. We have voices of neighbors, loved ones. We have voices of the radio and television. We hear we hear traffic. We hear planes. We hear everything. But the greatest thing that you will ever hear and I have ever heard is the gospel given to us. Faith comes by hearing. You say, what if you can't hear? What if that sense, what if you're deaf? Now, that's why people have given their lives to being able to communicate other ways. The hearing there is not necessarily through the ear gate. It's the perception of what the Lord says to us. And most of us have that sense of hearing. And spiritually, we can have that turned into salvation in our life. And we certainly, in our heart, we need to listen to the voice of God. Anybody in here ever heard God speak? I don't think so. But we talk about hearing the voice of God. What is that? That's a spiritual hearing. We hear it through the Word of God. We hear His voice through the messages that come to us. And so we should listen carefully to the voice of God. He speaks through His Word. He speaks through His Holy Spirit. And He speaks even through daily circumstances. God gives us certain things along the way that speak to us and to our heart. We hear spiritually. So we can see the world without Christ. And if there is no vision, people will die without God. Then we have become Christians ourselves because by faith we heard. By faith we believed. By faith we accepted. We put those things in our life. And so we listened to what? To the voice of God. Not necessarily an audible voice, but a spiritual voice that He gives to us. Then we have the sense of smell. Somebody says, how in the world can you bring around a spiritual application to a sense of smelling? Well, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. We can send forth a sweet odor unto the Lord. We can give forth the things of the Lord. This is developed by our sacrifice to God. I use the word sacrifice. Maybe, I doubt any of us know what sacrifice really is. We give our offering to the Lord. We fall short many times in sacrifice, but we offer ourselves to the Lord. We offer ourselves through the church and His cause and His purpose, and we do recognize that Christ is spoken of as the Rose of Sharon. When you think of a rose, what do you think of? Two things, the beauty of it and the smell of it. The beauty of the rose and the odor, the fragrance of a rose. And the Bible says that Jesus is the Rose of Sharon, that rose that gives forth that fragrance, that rose that gives forth a beauty. And so we find that the sense of smell is so usable and useful for the child of God. And He's spoken of not only that, but He's spoken of as the lily of the valley, that flower that is of in the valley. And so tonight we have the sense of smell. We have our sacrifice, we have our offering as a sweet odor unto the Lord. And then He gives to us a mental picture that He is a sweet smelling rose of Sharon. Up here by the trailer, there's a rose bush. And over the weekend, overnight, I looked out this morning, drove down here this morning, looked out as I drove by the trailer, and there was 8 or 10 roses overnight came out. And I stopped and I said, I wonder what they smell like. They smell pretty good. And so we use the scents, and the Lord uses the sense of smell to identify Himself, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. He's the bright and morning star. All those things identify
the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the sense of vision, looking upon the world. We have the sense of hearing and believing upon the things of God. Then we have the sense of smell. And then how about taste? Psalm 34, verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Now, the word taste there just means to experience the Lord. Taste and see, or taste and know, the Lord is good. If we used to take time tonight and go around the building, and I would say, tell me one or two good things that the Lord has done for you, you'll know that He's good. The song says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord's done. It'll surprise you what God has blessed you with. The psalmist says here, one phrase here that's used, the sand, like the sand of the sea. And so His blessings are given to us, and we taste Him, and we identify with Him, and He is a part of us. When we partake of food physically, that food becomes a part of us. It gives us energy. It gives, if we eat too much of it, it gives us fat. It becomes a part of us. And so if we surrender ourselves to God and partake of His Word by faith, it ought to become a part of us. It becomes a part of our life, becomes a part of our livelihood. And so there's a taste, that sense of taste spiritually, that we know the Lord's good. How good is God? The songwriter says, how great thou art. When I survey the wondrous cross, when I survey the things of the world, when we look at all the things that God has, we know that He's good. We live our life, we have our health, we have our strength, we have all those things, even with problems and issues, but God's good. And David recognized that there were enemies everywhere he looked. And he said, I hate them with a perfect hatred. Strange words. Most people say you're not supposed to hate. David hated with a perfect hatred. Then he invited God, you search my heart and see if I'm okay. See if I'm well. Search me, O God, know my heart and try me. Know my thoughts. And part of those thoughts was hatred toward the enemies of God that they were despitefully using. And then he says, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David said, those that hate God, I hate them perfectly. Now, Lord, you check my heart out. You search me. Make sure I'm okay. Make sure that everything's well. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And if there is, David said, I'll take care of it. We'll get it taken care of. And so we taste the Lord, and we experience the good things of God. The Lord comes into our heart. He abides with us. We are one together. And we are of the Lord. And then we have that sense of touch, that last one. Physically, we talked about touching things and feeling things. The light doesn't have to be on. Sometimes we don't have to know exactly where we are and what we're... We grab a hold of a doorknob, we know what it is, we do it by feel. There was a lady one day in Matthew chapter 9, and she said, but if I can just touch the hem of His garment, that touch of knowing who the Lord was. Of course, the garment that He wore had tassels around it, and that's what she wanted to. She said, I don't want to just touch a lot. Just let me touch the bottom part. Just let me touch the hem of the garment, and she said, I shall be whole. I'll be made well. I'll be whole. And thank God we've touched the hem of His garment. Spiritually, we've been made whole. Now, we're not perfect yet in our physical life. We're not, not everything's well, not everything's good, not anything is perfect with us. But we are perfectly whole in Him. And we're headed toward heaven because one day we were able to grasp and feel and know and touch and see and experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. They saved a wretch like me, saved a wretch like you. People don't like to be told they're wretched. People don't like to be told they're wicked, but God tells us without Him, we are desperately wicked down to the depths of our heart. And so we can touch Him and He can touch us. He will touch and give us a hand physically, but thank God He does it also spiritually. He can do it physically, He can do it mentally, but the greatest thing God ever does for us is a spiritual touch that has made us go from being a child of the wicked unto a child of the King. Five senses that God gives. He gives them to us physically that we can function in this world. He gives them to us spiritually that we can be able to go to the other world and function there. Thank God tonight we are fearfully, we are wonderfully made by God. We are His creation, created in the image of the Lord, marred and tore up and tore down. But thank God He's still working on us. He's still giving us ability. And we can see Him, we can hear Him, we can be that sweet odor, we can have that taste of the Lord, and we can have the touch of God in our heart and our life, that one day we'll see Him. And I believe we'll see Him not with just spiritual eyes, but we'll have the eyes that's been given to us in that resurrected body, and we will see the King. I've never seen the Lord, nobody else has. Oh, there's been some try to tell us to have, but they've never seen the Lord. But one day, by faith, we will physically, I believe, see the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for these senses that He gives us physically and spiritually, that we have a better life because of that. What if you couldn't see? What if you couldn't hear? What if you couldn't smell? What if you couldn't taste? What if you couldn't touch? It'd be a drab world, wouldn't it? Physically and spiritually. Let's stand together.